Always remember that it's the lesson for today may be a continuing lesson from 3 to 4 weeks ago, and sometimes it's hard to kind of remember what our lesson was about the previous week or 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago, but this is kind of a continuance, and we'll look at it this morning and find some things here that I believe relate very much so to today, and I'll kind of tie it into a lot of things that are taking place in the day that we live in. And today is a great day. Does anybody know why it's a great day? It's a special day. It's the Lord's Day. All right. No. The Pope's leaving today. That's why it's a special day today. And but anyway, I to be honest with you, our lesson is going to tie in with that. It's kind of I don't think it's just by mistake that kind of things line up sometimes that we have in our lesson, and it kind of relates a little bit to what is taking place, and we're going to tie that in as well. I'm going to be very honest with you this morning, and I will be maybe a little frank, and I don't mean to come across as mean-spirited, but if you believe what the Catholic Church teaches you, you'll spend eternity in hell. You'll go straight to hell. They do not preach salvation. They do not preach Jesus Christ and putting your faith and trust in Him. It is a works salvation that they have, and works doesn't get anybody to heaven. Only Jesus Christ will get anybody into heaven. But anyway, we'll pray, and we'll get into our lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You help us as we study Your Word. God, we are needy people. We need to learn. We need to grow. Lord, we even need to know what is taking place in the day and age that we live in. And God, we need to know how the Word of God applies to our day. Even though we read about someone such as maybe like Paul, who lived many, many years ago, but yet the Word of God that was penned applies for us today, and it's for our life today. And Lord, help us to learn how to daily take Your Word, to learn, to grow, to put it to practice, and Lord, put it to work in our life in this day that we live in. And God, we do pray for our world. We are in such a need of revival. It's so obvious how far this world, our country, even our nation, has drifted away from You and from Your Word. And God, I pray that You'd send revival to our land once again. Lord, we do want to mention those that are sick, those that have prayer requests, that may have physical needs, maybe spiritual needs, maybe financial needs. Lord, the needs of Your people are prevalent this morning. We do pray that You would answer the prayers that people have today. And Lord, please meet the needs that they have. We do pray for those that are lost this morning that need to be saved. I pray that they would see this morning their need of salvation. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would work in their life, convict them, and Lord, and show them that they need a Savior, and that that Savior is Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that You'll help us to be a good witness for that this week. Help us to be a good testimony for You and an example for You this week as we live as well. We do pray for, Lord, our missionaries and how important they are around the world, that You would bless them and help them in supplying their needs this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. I'm going to jump backwards here just a moment to lay a little bit of a foundation. I'll kind of go back and give you a little bit of last week. Paul is addressing a problem in the church. In fact, as we get into next week, it's going to be more than just this one issue. But one of the problems that they were having in the church is that the membership, a lot of them have not grown spiritually. They have not matured spiritually. And when you get a body of believers together, even though they are saved on their way to heaven, if they do not grow and if they do not mature, if they do not learn, they're going to encounter a lot of problems. A lot of church problems happen because the membership is not mature in Christ. We don't grow like we ought to at times. We may not mature as we should in our spiritual life. And when that happens, it's always going to create problems in the church. And so the church here, Paul is addressing those problems. Now, Paul was one that was very blunt. He was someone that was very out in the open, very forward with the congregations that he dealt with. And when they were wrong, he pointed out their wrong. He pointed out who was wrong. He pointed out why they were wrong. And he would also highlight and put a spotlight on the wrong of the people. So he discusses with them that their main problem is their lack of spiritual growth. And Paul addressed that as well. And we mentioned also last week, when an individual doesn't grow, it's their fault. Now, a lot of people like to blame everybody else and everything else in life of why they come up short. But Paul made sure they understood the reason that they were not maturing spiritually in their life and not growing is because of their lack of learning and understanding the principles of the Word of God. Now, because they were immature in their spiritual life, remember how Paul even mentioned last week that even when he taught them and preached to them, he'd have to give them the milk of the Word, not the meat of the Word. He couldn't get very deep with them because they couldn't handle the teaching and the preaching that he would like to give unto them and that they actually needed in their life, and he addressed that in their life. And then lastly, last week, he discussed, I guess, maybe half the chapter last week in chapter 3, of how that the people had gotten to the point where they were preferring a messenger or a preacher over another. There were some that were of Paul, and they were fans of Paul. Paul was their hero, and they would put Paul up on a pedestal. And then there were some that were of Apollos, and Apollos was a different type of preacher. He was a very dynamic type of a preacher. He was a very many Bible scholars say that he had the total package. He had the looks, he had the speech, he had the way of preaching and teaching that drew large crowds, where Paul was the total opposite. When you would look at Paul, you would not be impressed with him. His physical appearance was not very appealing to a lot of people. His voice and the way that he would speak, some say, was not very attractive as well. And so there were some that were of Paul, and they liked Paul, and Paul was their hero. And there were some that were of Apollos, and they promoted Apollos, and he was their hero. And on it went, and basically it came down to the membership. They were looking more at personalities of the ones delivering the message than they were of the message. So what happened is that the people were putting an emphasis on an individual, a messenger, or a preacher of the Word of God, and they were forgetting that it had nothing to do with the messenger, it was all about the message. And the message has lost its effect in the church, and it was no longer important about the message, it was all about personality conflicts among the brethren. So there was a division. There were some saying, if you're not of Paul, you're nothing. Or some would say, man, if you're not of Apollos, you're nothing. So they were fighting and they were bickering among themselves about these different personality conflicts and preferences that they had that has no meaning whatsoever. You see, this morning, it makes no difference what the messenger looks like. It doesn't matter what his voice or the tone of his voice may sound like. You see, the messenger means nothing in the work of God. Only the message is what matters when it comes to the work of God. Personalities don't matter. You know, there are some preachers that are just totally different than another preacher. There are some preachers that their voice is very bombastic. There are some preachers, their voices are a little bit more maybe high-pitched or a little bit squeaky. There are some preachers that maybe use a lot of humor in their messages, where another preacher may be a lot more serious and maybe doesn't use much humor in his message. But none of that matters. The only thing that matters is the message of God. And Paul even said of himself that you're even wrong, he was saying to the membership there, if you think that you are of Paul. He says, you're not of Paul, you're of Christ. And I want to go back here to chapter 3, if you would, and verse number 21. The Bible says here, Paul speaking, therefore, let no man glory in, what's the next word? In men. Never should we, in the work of God, in the church of God, glory in a man. Alright, are y'all with me so far? Now, isn't it so ironic how so much ties into our news today? Because every time I turn on the news, it's all about the Pope. He is treated like he is God himself. And I'm even amazed at how much publicity he gets and how much airtime that he gets on national television and how everybody is following him everywhere he goes. And we need to realize, you know, it was so bad yesterday, I even turned it over to find out what the weather's going to be. And I go to the Weather Channel, and the Weather Channel, all they want to talk about is what the temperature was going to be in Philadelphia today. I mean, even the news, Brother Richardson asked me the other day how I was doing. I said, I'm doing wonderful. I watched the news and I found out that the heavens have opened up today and we've been blessed with good weather and sunshine, perfect temperature because the Pope is in town. I mean, everywhere he goes, there's a camera there. I thought he was leaving today, so I thought, well, maybe I can watch some news today and find out what's actually going on in the world that has any meaning whatsoever. And I turn it on, and what's it about? It's about the Pope's last day. Even try to watch, find out what the weather's going to be. You know what they're telling us today? What the weather's going to be in Rome when the Pope arrives back at home. May I say this morning that I can easily say, and I believe that there's a lot of people that's glorying in a man. And I promise you that this man, Pope, if you would, can't save anybody. In fact, if he don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he'll die and go to hell. But it's been amazing. I think it was Saturday night, I'll turn on the news to watch the news, and they have a special report about religion of our day, and it's primarily about the Catholic Church. You see, the Catholic Church this morning is dying. But let's not get too happy. We're not doing too great ourselves. I've never heard of so many terms, the Pope. We find and hear about the bishop, we hear about the cardinals, we hear about the saints. It's amazing, the other day they were going to make so-and-so a saint. He died 200 years ago. And they were going to make him a saint, I believe. I think it was in Washington, D.C. for some of the work he had done and so forth. And from what I can gather, now I don't know a lot about the Catholic religion. I've never been a part of the Catholic Church, but they were actually going to pray this man into heaven. I got news for you, it ain't nobody going to pray anybody into heaven. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's satanic. I mean, it's very deceiving, and I'm amazed at how many people are all attracted to this and so forth. And, I was watching this special report. I watched a little bit because it was, at first it started talking about the Catholic Church. Last year alone, I think in New York City, they closed 100 Catholic churches in New York City alone just last year. Lack of membership, lack of support, can't pay the bills, they can't pay the insurance, they can't pay the taxes, and on and on and on. And then it went from that to other religions as well, it went from there to the Southern Baptist churches and how many members they've lost in just the last year. And then it went to this New Age type of religion with the rock and roll music and all that, and how they're all doing so great and so forth. And I thought to myself, it is the signs of the times. It's very obvious we live in a very different world. Some of you here this morning that are a little older than others, you could even testify yourself about how much religion, and I don't like to use the word religion, but how church, if I could say maybe this morning, how much it's changed just in your lifetime. We live in tough days. We live in a dark world. And because of that, and I'm going to use religion, because when I say religion, I'm talking about the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, any other church you want to name, you throw it in there, and they're all declining. Why is that? Why is it declining? Well, I could open that up for discussion, and we could probably discuss that for the remainder of our time this morning. But the facts are the facts. Religion as a whole is declining. And why is that? Could it be, and I guess we could all speculate this morning of why it is dying, but I'm afraid so often that so much religion of today has been built on man and not the message of God. Let's be honest. You preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. I mean, you preach all the principles of the Word of God. It's not going to make everybody happy in this world. In fact, there's going to be a whole lot of people that don't like the Word of God. So what's happened? What has happened over a period of time, churches, messengers, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, members of churches have watered down the message, and when you water down the message, it's just like Paul, you're going to have a lot of problems. Paul knew that, hey, if he doesn't get this corrected quickly in the church here, the church will be non-existent and the church would decline and it would be non-effective among the community, if you would, because of the watering down of the message. And they had watered down the message because the message didn't matter to them anymore. It was all about the man delivering the message. You'll find here, in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he says, "Let a man so account of us, and as of the ministers of Christ." So he's talking about the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. It's interesting, in verse number 2, he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards." So Paul here is even classifying not only himself, but he's going to lump in, if you would, Apollos, any other preacher, the helpers and workers in the ministry of God as stewards of God. That's what they are. They are stewards of God. They're not God. They're not a pope. They can do nothing about your sin. All they are messengers of the message of God. Now, this morning, we have the message of God. It's right here. It's the Word of God. Now, this morning, we are members of this church here. We have a pastor, Brother Richardson. His job as a steward is to be, by the way, Paul tells you that here's his responsibility as the pastor of our church. In verse number 2, "More of it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful." Now, I'm going to go back and throw in a little bit like I did last week. Most people, when they look at a pastor, will judge him based on how many he runs, how big his church may be, how much property the church may own, how many buildings they may have, how many missionaries they may support, how much is in their checking account. But when it comes to the Word of God, the Bible says basically the only requirement that's placed upon him is that he be found what? He be found faithful. Doesn't matter if it's over 1, over 2, 20, doesn't matter if he has 50 that's attending in the church or 100, that is not his responsibility. But he is required to be found faithful. Now, as a steward in the work of God, or as a worker, or as a helper, guess what? You know what's required of us? That we be found faithful. Yeah, well, that's pretty easy. Well, you're going to find that's a pretty tall task right there, to be found faithful. Well, what does it mean to be found faithful? Does that mean I've got to have perfect attendance for 1 year in my Sunday school class, or do I have to be found perfect attendance for 1 year in the church? No, it's talking about being faithful to the message of God. You see, the Christian life is more than how faithful you are in attending Sunday school or the morning service or the evening service. Hey, God's got a lot broader view of what He requires of us, and God wants us just to be faithful to this right here called the Word of God. Now, I think we would all agree this morning, a lot have drifted away from being faithful to this right here. Now, they're faithful to entertainment. They're faithful to trying to have large crowds. They're faithful to large checking accounts. They're faithful to a lot of things when it comes to religion this morning, but not many still remain of being faithful to the Word of God. Would everybody agree to that this morning? I'm talking about religion as a whole. Not many are still true to the Word of God. I can't remember that guy out in California that built a real large church, and he wrote some books about how to build a big church and so forth. And one of the first things he tells people is, don't require people to bring a Bible to church. Now, any preacher that tells me, you know, don't bring your Bible, reminds me of some pope somewhere telling me that he'll tell me what God says. I want to know what God says for myself. Would you not agree? Would we not all agree this morning that religion as a whole has drifted away from the principles of the Word of God? All right, we all agree. Now, not everybody has drifted from the Word of God, and there are still churches, missionaries, preachers, pastors, evangelists that still preach the whole counsel of God, the Word of God. Now, here's what happens, though. Now, we're the weirdos. Now, we're the ones that are looked at and laughed at. They'll call you things such as old-fashioned. Still stuck in the old ways. It's amazing some of the comments that Christians will make about us. They'll call you an extremist. Some will even go so far as say you're a cult. Why? Because you're different. And Paul here is working with this membership and was telling them, because you are weak, you are immature, you have not grown, you have not matured, and because of that, now you put all, I mean, it's all about the men who's preaching the message. It's all about the pastor of that church. It's all about that person that delivers that message. They're not listening to the message. They don't hear the message. They don't understand the message. They don't even pay attention to the message. All they're worried about is that person delivering that message. Kind of like the Pope. Now, I personally think he's a liberal. And if I was a Catholic, which I'm not, and praise be to God that I'm not a Catholic this morning, but I would say this, if I was a Catholic, I would be ashamed of him as my pope. He's a compromiser. He's a leftist. He's an environmentalist. He's a wacko in a lot of areas. And here he is coming over here trying to tell us that we need to cut back on air pollution. He came over here basically to tell us we need to take all those refugees and just bring them and dump them in America. And our country has done more for immigrants than any other nation on this planet. And Christians are being persecuted and killed and murdered around the world, and not one soul says anything about that. Do you realize this morning that if you live in certain parts of this world and you claim to be a Christian, they will behead you?
Yeah, that's right.
Chop your head off. You know, here's one thing, Brother Richardson, that just blows my mind. There are women that live in parts of this world that can't go out in public without her face being covered. And there's not any outcry in this world about that. I mean, over here, all you hear about in the news is about a woman has her rights.
Yeah, that's right.
And if she wants to abort her child, it's her. It's her body. It's her. She can do what she wants to. But it doesn't apply to other parts of the world. It's amazing. I mean, and I'm not, you know, there are parts of the world that a woman, she can't drive. She can't get a driver's license. She can't go out in public unless she's completely covered. Her face can't be revealed in public and so forth. And not a single soul in this world says anything about that. And you want to tell me something about air pollution? Would you not agree this morning that religion is upside down? When's the last time anybody just, you know, got up and just preached the Word of God? Now, you know as well as I do that if a man were to get on national television and, I mean, just really lay into the Word of God and start laying it down and preaching it like it ought to be preached, you know as well as I do, he would be made fun of, he'd be mocked, and he'd be run plumb out of the station. Why? Because Bible believers whether we like it or not, we are in the minority. And that minority group that we call Christians is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Paul knew that if we don't get something corrected here in the church, that if we don't get some of these believers to grow and to mature, we're going to have problems. And now we've already got problems, and we've got this personality conflict going on in the church and so forth. And Paul reminds them, beginning in verse number 1 and verse number 2, that the messenger... Now, Paul was a messenger of the Word of God. But it wasn't just Paul, and it wasn't just Apollos. There are a lot of workers and contributors and helpers in the work of God. He classifies them as stewards, if you would, of the message of God. And it's all about the message. It's not about the man. It's not about the personality. It's not about who's the better speaker. It's not about who looks better than so-and-so. It's all about the message, Paul says. But boy, we live in a day and age nowadays where the message is not even wanted. Most people are going to go to church this morning. I should say maybe a lot of people will go to church this morning just because they like being entertained. It's all entertainment. Not many go to church with a desire and a prayer, God, please teach me your word. I'm going to step way out past that and say, I believe a lot of believers this morning don't want to know what the word of God has to say. I'm amazed today at how many people who've been saved in church for a long period of time know nothing about the Word of God. How can that be? How can you be saved for, I'm going to say, 25 years, been in church for 25 years, and know nothing about God's Word? Now, we can go back and, like most people, point a finger and say, well, the preachers aren't preaching anymore. And in some cases, that is true. And it is hard and a little more difficult to grow spiritually if you're involved in a church where there is no biblical preaching. Now, it doesn't excuse you because you still have the Holy Spirit of God who dwells inside of you, and you have the Word of God. So when it really comes down to it, it's all your fault, nobody else's. But let's just be honest. It's easier to grow spiritually in a church that preaches the Word of God. Am I right? If you go to some church somewhere and it's all built on music and entertainment and all that, and it gets down to the last 10 minutes and there's some little speech by somebody that has, you know, it did mention the love of God in it somewhere in there, it's going to be hard to grow in an environment like that. That's why it's important that you go to the right church. It's important that we're involved in church. But I've gotten a little bit off track here. You'll find, and I'm going to have to skim through some of this instead of reading maybe every verse by verse. You'll look at verse number 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. So Paul here is talking to them about them judging him. And he's basically talking to them about how that they're judging him based on personality, about his appearance, or maybe the way he delivers the message, or how his speech or his tone of his voice may be. And he's actually, the entire chapter is going to be him criticizing the membership for judging people based on personalities. Paul says it ought to be, if there's any judging, it's all judged on the message, not the messenger. And he says here in verse number 3, at the middle of the verse, or of man's judgment, yea, I judge not mine own self. And Paul basically says, here you are judging me. And Paul even says, hey, I don't even have the right to even judge my own self. You'll find here, he goes into verse number 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. What's Paul saying? Paul says the only person who has a right and the ability to judge me is the Lord himself, not you. Paul says, hey, the only requirement placed on the messengers that it be found faithful to the Word of God. Nowhere in God's Word, Paul says here, does anybody have the right to judge any man based on his appearance, how he talks, the way he, maybe the structure of maybe how his appearance may look when he gets up in front of people. None of that matters, Paul says. The only thing that matters is the message that is being preached. Now, if you go back to chapter 3, Paul did also refer to those messengers, the preachers and the pastors, about how that when they do preach, you better have some substance to your message. And that message ought to be centered around the Word of God, and it'll be biblically correct when you preach that message, and you ought to lay a strong foundation. And that foundation, if you remember last week, is the Word of God. The foundation is Jesus Christ, and you build upon that. And Paul even mentioned how that even as a messenger, you do have to be careful in the foundation and the message that you are bringing, the message you are given. And you will be judged upon that. In fact, you're going to be tried on that. Remember last week, Paul says, hey, every man's work will be tried by fire. And I'm not saying this morning that the message is not important. It is. I'm not saying this morning that those who deliver that message. Now, don't get in the habit of pointing a finger and saying, well, that's Brother Richardson. No, we're all messengers of God. It's everybody's job this morning to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's everybody's job to be a missionary, if you would. It's our job to spread the gospel. It's our job to teach the world that Jesus saves. But we've got to make sure that all the emphasis and all the spotlight is on the message. Most churches this morning, the spotlight is on everything except the message. Most preachers this morning don't want to get very deep into the Word of God because he knows it's going to offend some. Some's not going to like it. Some are going to rebel against that. Most people don't want to be told what to do. I've had people say, well, I don't want anybody to tell me how to live my life. Well, you're going to have a hard time with God because he's going to tell you how to live it from the very beginning to the very end. And there's a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live. That's what's wrong with America. Not many people want to preach that message anymore. This is a shame. Not many preachers even want to preach the message of the cross anymore. There are movements that even say that we're even wrong in our songbook, that you sing those songs about onward, forward Christian soldiers and about war, and that's all bad. Oh, my friend, we live in a spiritual battle this morning, every day that we live. There's a war that takes place every day in your life this morning. How far we've drifted from this right here, the Word of God. No wonder our world's upside down. No wonder we just legalize gay marriage around the world, or the country. No wonder this morning that abortion is just open, Planned Parenthood, that's always in the news. Selling body parts out of babies. How demonic can you be? Brother Richardson, I always thought it was odd reading in the Word of God in some religions that you'll find in God's Word, they'd sacrifice their own children to their God. They'd even take their own baby and throw it in the river and think the river God will receive that as a sacrifice and he will be well-pleasing. How ungodly, but I don't know that it's much different than what we do in our own nation. Well, I have that right to do that. Well, maybe our Supreme Court, and I don't put any faith and trust in our Supreme Court either. You put all your faith and trust this morning in the Word of God. This is the message. This is what Paul is holding up to the people. And basically, Paul is standing before the congregation and says, here it is right here. It's all right here. It's not about me, Paul says. It's not about me as a messenger and how I deliver the message. It's not about Apollos. It's not about so-and-so. And it's not about him, not about him. Hey, it's all about this right here. It's about the book, dear friend. The message. And the congregation was weak. You'll find that as you read through the chapter that they had become very judgmental. You walk in a congregation and they basically come up to you, and I'm kind of just reading into it a little bit here. They probably come up to you and say, who you are, Paul or Apollos? Well, I'm a Paul. Well, good, you've got a friend. You sit over here. If you said Apollos, you'd be discouraged to leave. And it was all about personality. You see, this morning when you sit in a church like this and different people come into the pulpit and preach, don't judge whether or not you like that particular service based on that messenger. It's not about the messenger, it's about the message. And the messenger will give an account for the message that he delivers. He'll give that account. In fact, Paul mentions it in the previous chapter. I mean, God's going to do all the judging. Paul is saying, don't worry about all this judging. I mean, God's going to handle all the judging. I think we're all going to be a little surprised sometimes when we do find out the judgments of God and how God judges. God's going to try everything we do with fire, and God will decide whether it stands or whether it burns up. Paul says, get out of this immature, babyish Christianity where you base everything on the messenger. Well, I like, you know, that was a good service last week. That preacher, he was real funny. Well, he might have been real funny, but what about the message? That's what's important, the message. The entire chapter is Paul dealing with them and their immaturity of judging and prejudging and deciding whether they like someone or not based on personality. And everybody has different personalities. There's not a soul in this room. There's not two people in this room that have the same type of personality. Everybody in here knows everybody. We know everybody's personalities. For instance, I can come to church and I just pretty well know who's going to be at the door when I get here. Who's it going to be? It's going to be who? Brother Earl. Now, I don't know how much you're getting paid to do that, are you getting paid to do that? You do not get paid. Okay. Why do you do that? Pretty good person to have at the door. He's going to ask how you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to smile to you. And it's just nice to see a smiling face when you come into the church. Would you not agree? All right, so we all agree. I can pretty well bank on it. I can go to Brother Jay and I can talk to Brother Jay, and Brother Jay's going to have a good positive attitude. Would you agree? I'm not saying he doesn't have a bad day. I'm not saying Brother Earl may not have a bad day. Does Brother Earl ever have a bad day? Not very often. He's pretty cheerful all the time. All right. But there have been in times past, not particularly here, and maybe not you, but there have been people that I see them come and say, oh, Lord. Because if you ask them how they're doing, they're going to tell you, and it's not going to be good. You ever met people like that? You already know them. Why? That's personality. That's just the way you view their personality. And I'm not saying that's right and wrong, and we could go into a lot of that as well, but I can't judge the total package of a church based on who greeted me at the door or who was friendly or who was unfriendly. You judge the ministry based on the message. Now, I'm not saying personalities are not important. I'll be honest with you, if everybody's in a bad mood and everybody's sad and upset and mad when I walk in the church, it's going to be hard for me to want to go there every single week. But Paul is saying you've got to get past all that and grow up and mature as a believer and realize it's about the message. I'll skip down as well. Look at verse number 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. And basically, Paul's saying in verse number 6, hey, there's not a problem between Paul and Apollos. They get along just fine. The problem is you, the membership. You're the one that's divided us. You're trying to pit one group against another group. And Paul says, I don't even like groups. We're all of Christ, he says. You'll find also in verse number 6, he goes on, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no man of you be puffed up for one against another. Now, that was another problem they have, and it's going to be mentioned again later in the chapter as well, that you've got these groups that are puffed up, one group against another. What's that mean? They're fighting among each other. They have disagreements. It's very well known. They're all puffed up. It's very obvious to everybody else. And when people walk into the church and everybody's arguing and fighting among themselves and this group against this group, Paul says, why in the world would anybody want to go to church there? Would you? Now, we make comment often here, and I do often, that our church is not a perfect church by any means because we walked in. And there's no such thing as a perfect church. There is no such thing of a church that doesn't have some problems, some conflicts and some disagreements. But, you know, I've always worded it this way. You know, in a church, we all have to agree that there's going to be times that we disagree. Now, when it comes to salvation and the principle of the Word of God, I mean, that's black and white. There is no compromising there. But often in the church, people get crossway because of silly things that go on that have no meaning to the message of the Word of God. I've said this so often, and it's amazing of how churches can have so much division inside of a church, and it's all because of personality. Churches, there are churches that split down the middle because they get in a big argument over what color carpet they're going to put in the church. What is that? That's just a personality conflict. And Paul here through the whole chapter, and I challenge you, you have to go back and read it for yourself here, how that he talks and how that he is very, very straightforward. And he tells them, you be very, very careful. Your problem is you're immature. You haven't grown. You haven't matured like you should. And because of that, now you've got divisions in the church because you want to hold man up on a pedestal and you want to put one man up here and says, I'm of him. And this group says, I'm of him. And you've got a man up in front of everybody, and it's not about a man, you don't glory in men, you glory in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what he looks like, doesn't matter what kind of personality he may have, doesn't matter whether he's funny or serious or whatever the flavor of the day may be. He said the only thing that matters is the actual message. And they had drifted away from the message. They had watered down the message of God. They didn't care anything about the message anymore. It was all about what my personality likes. And Paul said it's very, very damning to the work of God. It's very destructive. It's very destructive to that lost person who comes in and notices and sees what's taking place in the church. And Paul says that you're going to have to be very careful. Look at verse number 18. I'll go way down the chapter here. Now, some are puffed up. They're mad. They're angry. They are very harmful to the Word of God. And he goes on, as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. And that's the way it is with everything. If it's the Lord's will, the will known not to not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, or in the spirit of meekness? And I skipped something as well. Paul does in verse number 11 kind of remind them in verse 11, 12, and 13 some of the things he personally has been through for the work of God. Look at verse number 11. Even into this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands, meaning they didn't have adequate support. They had to work a job just to pay the bills. He says here in verse number 12, being reviled, we bless; being persecuted, we suffer it; being defamed in verse number 13. So Paul even gives a little bit of a testimony of all that he's gone through in the work of God, and he's actually kind of I don't know if belittling them is a good word here, but he's just trying to make them realize as a membership how silly and how babyish they are to come up and to judge him based on how he looks and how he speaks. And I believe they probably left that particular setting, and I bet they probably felt about that tall. Paul says, if you only knew what the ministers of God go through, and then I come here and I stand before you, and y'all are all bickering and fighting over personality, when there's a work that's taking place, and it's a hard work, a tough work. And Paul kind of hits them pretty hard with that as well. But our time's out. Let's pray, and we'll jump back into it.